see all of you all again. Poor Hendrick, he's quite the spit upper. If you get a chance, if you haven't been spit up in a while, he'll be glad to take care of that for you. Every time all of us hold him, it's sort of like you don't know. It's sort of like you remember when you had an antenna and you got it just right, and if you moved it just a tiny bit, you lost your whole screen. That's kind of like Hendrick. If he's sitting still and he's not upset at his stomach, everybody else sits real still too, and because that first movement is going to throw him all off, and you're going to get slimed. So, it's good again. It's good to see all of you all again this morning. I hope you've enjoyed your break from me, and we're going to just jump right back in to the series that I left after a few lessons. It's been about 10 years or so since I've got up and spoke in front of people. And as I reflect just over the last couple of years, I think the last couple of years have been by far the hardest of these 10 years. That if you even take the 7 years prior to the last 2.5 or so, I don't think any of them were harder than these last 28 months. Maybe some of you all feel the same way. Maybe as you think back to the pain and the struggle and the frustration and the disappointment, maybe you think of how bad and how hard this pandemic has been. Maybe this has been the hardest thing that you've ever had to go through. But in spite of all of the tears and in spite of all of the struggle and disappointments, I think we can find ways of being thankful, that I can find reasons to be thankful for these last 2 years. And as I think of why I'm thankful, I think one of the things that has made this so challenging is sort of the very thing that I'm thankful for. Because I think one of the hardest things that has made this difficult for me is that it has revealed my weaknesses. That there are so many of my struggles, so many of my own shortcomings, of my own weaknesses that have been revealed to me over the last 2 years, that it has made it more difficult, because none of us, I think, really like to see or like to hear our weaknesses and struggles. But I am thankful for that, because that's really how we grow. That's what trials do. I'm thankful to have a dad that taught that, to have coaches that taught that's what trials do. Trials show our weaknesses. They expose where our struggles already are. That they don't create weaknesses, but they reveal your weaknesses. They expose your weaknesses because they bring you right to the brink of what you can and cannot do. And they reveal to us our weakness, but there's also where strength begins, because that's where strength comes from. That's where growth comes from, that we can't grow until we recognize our weaknesses. That there's no way to gain strength without exposing our weaknesses. Otherwise, your weaknesses, if they're not exposed, they just lay hidden. You may not even know that they're there, but when you face a trial or a struggle or a hardship, it reveals to you your weakness, and you say, I'm not very good at that. I really struggle with that. Now, we have a choice every time this issue comes up. We can, in anger and in denial, say that's not my weakness, or that situation has caused this problem, rather than maybe accepting and realizing this is a weakness of mine. This is a struggle of mine. This is a shortcoming of mine, and I need to grow. So how about you? Over the last 2 years, has this pandemic exposed some of your weaknesses? Now, I'm not saying their weaknesses, because that's really what we want to do, right? That's where our minds tend to go. I don't know about my weaknesses, but I know a bunch of other people. But let's try not to talk about them. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about me, and let's talk about you. What has it revealed to you that you struggle with? What struggles or shortcomings or weaknesses has this time revealed about you? And again, we can get angry and deny and dismiss, because nobody likes having their weaknesses revealed. Nobody likes having their weaknesses exposed, but there's no way to gain strength without exposing your weaknesses. So again, we can deny and dismiss and try to hide it and just go back to trying living life as normal and pretend we didn't see it. Or we can say, thank you, God, that this trial has exposed my weakness. So now I can begin the hard work of growing. Now I can begin the hard work of dealing with this weakness. So what are we going to do as individuals and families? Are we just going to try and go back to life as normal and pretend that we didn't see our own weaknesses? Or are we going to pretend that we didn't see our own struggles? Or are we going to embrace the reality and begin to grow? To begin to do the hard work of growing so that we are better prepared for whatever comes after us next. Because we know something else is around the next corner, right? There's always another corner. And that's what we've been talking about this entire series, is as individually in our families, we have a role. Maybe you're a spouse, maybe you're a parent or a child or a grandchild or a grandparent, but we all have a role to play in our family. And chances are that these last few years has revealed some struggles and some weaknesses. And if we embrace what it has revealed in us, then I believe there is a chance that these last few years might end up making us better at our roles than we would have been otherwise, because it has revealed to us what we need to work on. It has revealed to us the trials that we have. So again, what do we do? Do we pretend we don't see them and we don't go about doing the hard work of growing? And that's what we've been talking about this whole series, is this foundation of that growth. And that source of that growth is found. Peter says in 2 Peter 1 verse 3 that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And just notice those words, through them. Through these, you become partakers in God's divine nature. And it's through these that you escape the corruption, or you begin to escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Through these what? What is the means by which we become partakers in the divine nature? What is the means by which we begin to escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire? Peter says that it's through these precious and very great promises. Now Peter uses a particular Greek word for promise in 2 Peter. He uses it here in chapter 1, and he uses it again in chapter 3. In chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, "But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So you take what he says in chapter 1 and what he says in chapter 3, then we can reflect on the fact that the results of God's promises are that, one, we will partake in the divine nature, that we will become like God, immortal, imperishable. Do we recognize that when Jesus comes and we are raised from the dead, that we will be immortal and imperishable, that we will be like God? We will partake in his divine nature. And then he says, too, that we will escape the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Everything that is broken and everything that is wrong, everything that is defiled, we get to escape that. And then three, we receive new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. These are our promises. And you might say, well, what does that have to do with changing and growing and recognizing our weaknesses and then progressing and getting better and being a better spouse or parent or son or daughter? I think it has everything to do with that. What we believe about our future completely controls how we experience our present. I like the story of the two employees that are hired to do the same exact job, the same room, the same environment. Every day for the same hours, they come and do the exact same tasks with the same responsibilities, with the same boss. Everything is exactly the same, except that one of them is told, if you do this job for the entire year, I'm going to give you $50,000. And the other person is told, if they work for the entire year, they're going to get $500,000. Now, which of the two do you think is more likely to invest their whole selves into the job? 50 grand or 500 grand? Which of them is going to be more likely to persevere? They're both going to have bad days. They're no doubt both going to have days where they don't want to go and be tempted to just quit. But which of these two is more likely going to persevere, to keep going? Again, to invest their whole self into it and say, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm here to stay. It doesn't matter that I have a bad day. It doesn't matter how rotten I feel, because I know what's going to happen at the end. We believe, or what we believe about our future, completely controls how we experience our present. That's why Peter says that these promises are the means by which we will become partakers in the divine nature, the means by which we begin to escape the corruption that is in the world through sinful desires, and the means by which we will receive new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. If we believe that, and we know these are our promises, then that should change how we experience our present, what we do in the present, how we live in the present, whether or not we persevere in the present and keep going and keep growing and doing and trying to be the people that we are called to be. So Peter says again in verse 5 of chapter 1, for this very reason, because of these promises, because you know what your future holds, for that very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with where we're at this morning, with steadfastness, perseverance, persistence, endurance, patience. Keep going. Keep doing, because it's going to be hard. And that's what Peter wants his audience to understand, is that you have to keep going. You have to endure. You if you are going to be the people that Jesus is calling you to be, then this is one of the areas in which you need to grow. Steadfastness. And I think in our culture, steadfastness or perseverance is a little bit or a lot of bit counterculture. To keep doing something when it's hard, I think one of the reasons that it's so hard to persevere in our culture is because we have so many options. We have options for everything. It's never just one thing. If you don't like this one, that there are 50 more to choose from. There might be 5,000 more to choose from. When I was a kid, I think of the coolers of pop at the store. I think there was one. You couldn't find one cooler that could just fit what the Coca-Cola bottling company sends out in two coolers today, let alone what Pepsi and Dr. Pepper send them to. If you don't like this one, there's another one. If this isn't going well for you, drop it. Quit it. Get something else. It's become counterculture in our culture to persevere, to be steadfast, to keep going when things are hard. You may not know that Japanese children do better on standardized math tests than American children. And researchers have wondered why that was. Were they just naturally more smart? Do they have higher IQs? What was exactly going on? So one group of researchers, they did a test where they took a difficult puzzle, and they really weren't even interested on who could solve the puzzle. What they were testing for is how long these children would persevere and keep going before they quit. And what they really wanted to know was how long before they quit it became frustrating and hard. And interestingly enough, the American children quit after 9.47 minutes, and the Japanese children quit after 13.93 minutes. In other words, the Japanese children persisted 47% longer. Sometimes it's not about IQs or intelligence or strength. Sometimes it's about persistence and perseverance, to keep going, to be steadfast even when things are challenging. Everything starts out fun. Even hard things start out fun. We often call that the honeymoon period, right? And that's true in marriage, and that's true in other things when they are new and exciting and interesting. But the chances are that at some point the newness wears off. The novelty wears off, and it's not so exciting anymore, and it just becomes boring or mundane or difficult or hard. And the prevailing wisdom says, if it becomes hard or difficult, just quit and do something else. But Peter says, if we're going to be disciples that Jesus is calling us to be, then this is one of the areas in which we need to grow. Steadfastness, perseverance, persistence. If we're going to have Christian homes, then we need to go against the grain of our culture, and we have to cultivate a spirit of perseverance, a spirit of persistence, a spirit of steadfastness in our home. Well, we're long after the excitement and the novelty is worn off, it becomes incredibly challenging that we still continue to persist. When we know what God is calling us to, when we continue to be steadfast, and that's not just in our relationship with God, but it's in our relationship with each other, because these are the relationships that are incredibly difficult at times, aren't they? It's these horizontal relationships, our relationships with God's people in the church, our relationships with our neighbors, with our family members, and at some point we will all be tempted to throw in the towel. But Jesus tells us if we're going to be his disciples, then we need to cultivate a spirit of persistence, of perseverance, of steadfastness. Verse 8 says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Peter says if you're going to be fruitful, that you're going to have to grow in these areas, and steadfastness being one of those. It reminds me of the parable that Jesus tells in Luke 18. He's talking about the sower and the seed, and he says it's like the evangelist. The Son of Man goes about spreading the good news of the kingdom, and some are like seeds that fall on the path, and it's just like when people hear the word of the gospel, and Satan comes and plucks it up before they've ever had a chance to believe. And then there's some seed that falls on the rock, and he says that it's like those who believe for a while, but in a time of testing, they fall away. That's again what testing does. Testing either makes us stronger because we realize that we are weak and we continue to persevere through the trial, or the trial makes us fall away. Jesus says that there are some seeds that fall into the thorns. And he says that's like those who are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. But he says there is some seed. There is some seed that falls on the good soil and it grows. He says that is those who hold fast to the word with an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Bearing fruit takes time. If you've ever grown fruit, you know that it takes time to produce fruit. And the only way that we are going to produce fruit in our individual lives or in our families is to persevere, is to be persistent, to be steadfast. And then Peter says in verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's none of us, I believe, here this morning that want to fall. None of us here want our family to fall. None of us want to fall away from the Lord. And Peter says, if you never want to fall, then you have to be growing in these qualities, and one of which, again, being steadfastness. So here's the good news this morning, is that every day you have an opportunity to grow in steadfastness, because it also provides you with a lot of opportunities to quit. And every time you have a reason to quit, you have an opportunity also instead to persevere and grow in perseverance, because we grow in steadfastness every time we could quit. But instead, we recommit. Instead of quitting, we recommit to the cause. Instead of saying, I'd like to quit, we say, I want to recommit myself and say, I will persevere. Every time we do that, with the little things and with the big things, every time we have an opportunity to quit, but we recommit, we grow in steadfastness. And we've, all the times that we have quit at some point or another, every day presents us with another opportunity to do something different, to recommit. And every time you're faced with that challenge, keep your eyes on Jesus and remember his great promises. Remember the promises about our future as Christians so that you can live different in the present. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And not only remember his promises, but remember his persistence and that perseverance, because Jesus did not quit. He had every opportunity to quit. He certainly had plenty of reasons to quit. There may have been times along the way that he wanted to quit on his path to the cross, but he persevered. On his path to the cross, he was persistent. On his path to the cross, Jesus was steadfast, and he did not quit. And again, if you're a Christian today, you are here because you are the fruit of that perseverance. Because Jesus didn't quit, you and I as Christians get to live forever. So on those days when you want to quit, when you have plenty of reasons to quit, fix your eyes on Jesus and remember his promises. And remember his perseverance. Maybe this morning there is someone here, and for the first time you are ready to commit your life to Jesus by being baptized into him. Or maybe you are a Christian and need to recommit your life in front of the body here this morning. Or you need prayers or help in some way. Please come as together we stand and we sing.